The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron White here. I'm here with Brian Rich. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian, you're the author of Shift and Reset, as well as some other fantastic, shall we say, resume materials that you put together in your illustrious career, including being a briefing director for Al Gore. Want to hear more about that and some work you've done in the PR industry. So tell us a little bit about yourself to start out with, and then we'll dive into the book.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. My background is, at least in a professional context, really in politics and public affairs. So I started at a pretty young age. My first paying campaign job was at the age of 14, working on campaigns and really sort of exploring the impact that politics has on everything else in our society. And over the years, as I, you know, worked my way up through different campaigns and then ultimately found myself as Al Gore's briefing director, I started to experience more and more the impact that media and information and then increasingly technology have on how people make choices and choose to take certain actions around issues they care about. So when the Supreme Court took my job away in 2000, I jumped in both feet to looking at public affairs in the context of the digital age and sort of fast forward about 12 years now, and that's sort of the genesis of Shift and Reset.
Hmm. And could you describe the book and the strategies that you discuss in the book in what you refer to as a connected society? Can you tell us about some of the challenges that you took on and why they're incredibly relevant?
Sure. We live in a really interesting and I think important time. As a world with a population now approaching 7 billion people, we have unprecedented ability to get and share information across borders, across time zones, without language so much being a barrier. You know, everyone talks a lot about social media and the power of mobile phones and things like that. But really what we are now in is one truly global society. That is a challenge in a lot of ways because we, you know, everything moves much quicker and the connections are much tighter. But it's also a huge opportunity because we can get and share information and we can learn and we can collaborate in ways we never have before. And so when I wrote Shift and Reset, what I was looking at was the fact that we have these big pressing social challenges, whether that's education or hunger or climate change or just sort of the redefinition of life and work, but also the opportunity that if we're connected and we have this access to people and to information we didn't have before, we need to really think differently about how we're going to both tackle the challenges and take advantage of the opportunities.
You've done quite a bit of work and sort of aim a lot of your research in the nonprofit industry. Is that right? Or can you sort of explain the tie-in there?
Yeah, well, I call it serious issues because I think it's important that everyone realize that it's not specific to one sector. In a connected society in particular, businesses and brands, government institutions, educational institutions, media, individuals, we all have a shared responsibility and a shared opportunity to address serious issues. And if you look at us individually as people, right, we're not defined only by the marital status or the job we hold or, you know, the place we live. In a world where we can connect virtually and build communities around our shared interests, we move in and out of these different sort of definitions and classifications. So serious issues are the only thing in my mind that really ties all of our different personalities and all of our different aspects of our life together, because whether we are at work or at home or, you know, worrying about ourselves or worrying about our family or the community or society in which we're a part of, there are serious issues, and those relate to us personally, and they relate to us in a way that traditional marketing and communications and sort of all the other entertainment and ancillary issues that we often hear about and focus on don't touch. And so, you know, serious issues to me is not just about nonprofits and philanthropy, but obviously that is a core focus of a lot of the work of those types of organizations.
Got it. And can you dive sort of into the overall problem the way you see it? You know, is there a problem of where we're going or how we're getting there with regards to success and marketing these serious issue sort of concepts?
Yeah, well, there's two main problems. One is what we're doing isn't working anymore. And I mean that in the sense that the way we communicate, the way we organize, the way we engage people, the way we mobilize to action around any issue or any situation is really rooted in old ways of thinking and old behaviors. But the world around us has fundamentally shifted. The influence that technology and the internet are having on our lives is much more significant than just, you know, it's a new channel or there's more information. We really have to look at all the behavior changes and what that means. So what we're doing isn't working, and we need to change that. But more importantly, because of the fact that we're all connected and have these exciting new tools available to us and these new ways of thinking to really exert, we can solve problems and address complex issues that we probably couldn't a year, 2 or 5 years ago. And so the idea of thinking differently and resetting the way that we organize ourselves and our society, coupled with this idea that we should be looking for solutions and not just greater awareness, that we should be looking for big accomplishments and not just, you know, small sort of mini successes from time to time, that I think is an important sort of relationship that we have to get right within our head and pursue.
If you were to describe who could benefit most from this book, could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, I wrote the book in the hopes that sort of any audience could read it, particularly people who work in any sector, because these challenges that face our society, whether that's education or security or climate change or cancer awareness and prevention, really is something that falls on everyone as a responsibility. But in particular, I think the people who will benefit most are the people who, you know, just who don't think that we're accomplishing enough, who feel a little unsettled or want to go out and have an impact on the world that is greater than just their, you know, personal success or individual success, because the way that we're currently going after these solutions with creating new organizations and focusing so heavily on social media and, you know, keeping the status quo because we have been successful in some ways in the past, those are either not working as well as they had anymore or they're going to change. And so my hope is this is a sort of a wake-up call to people who are trying to do interesting and ambitious things. I'd like to think that's everybody, but I know there's probably a smaller subset of people who really, you know, feel like they have what it takes to do something exciting and ambitious. So this is geared definitely for them.
Well, know that the Life Tips team is on the bandwagon. We're trying to make the world a better place one tip at a time. So we're happy to have you as a guest on the show. But let's talk about some of the challenges. You know, is sort of this kind of cause marketing challenge, still around and still present? Do people truly want to believe that they're not just buying something from your company, but your company has a commitment to try to make the world a better place? Are you seeing that as a real opportunity for companies to help increase membership and drive revenue and drive sales and, you know, and to therefore have a cause and, you know, have a cause behind them that they donate to every year? Is that, you know, something that we're seeing a lot of now? Is that on the incline, on the decline? And how does that relate to the book?
Sure. I think it is definitely a core part of the way companies are doing business, largely driven by the fact that individual consumers want to see that a company is doing good for the world, not just being successful at the expense of the larger good. But I actually think, and a big part of the book is about this, I actually think there's a larger opportunity for companies. So raising money and giving money to support a cause or advance an issue is important. But in many cases, and breast cancer awareness is a great example because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so it's been top of mind of late. Awareness in that case is not the most useful thing. We need to find a solution. We need to change people's individual behaviors. We need to come at some of these complex problems from a different angle. And the companies that I think are doing a lot of cause marketing to their benefit in particular really are barely scratching the surface of what they could potentially apply in terms of their expertise, in terms of their understanding of solving certain complex issues. So I would actually say, let's go beyond cause marketing. Let's really challenge the brands that we invest in and the consumers that those brands represent to think differently about the challenge. Let's not just raise awareness. Let's really try to solve these problems. Let's not just feed people. Let's eradicate hunger. Let's not just, let people know that climate change is a big issue. Let's actually reverse the trajectory of that issue in relation to our behavior.
Our own economy is being challenged, certainly at this time. The unemployment rates are extremely high now. It's been, shall we say, spotty. How does the book tie in with good old corporate America and jobs in America and some of the challenges that we're all facing now to keep this economy afloat, literally, with other economies all around us having a lot of challenges and staying afloat? Can you talk about that a little bit and how it might be time to shift and reset, if you will, the way we think here in the States?
Yeah, well, I think solving problems is good business. It is the kind of thing where, a company will not only gain market share, but will open up new product and service lines. So if you want to jumpstart the economy, one of the options is absolutely to start to solve some of the challenges that exist, to really be committed not just to sort of selling on the margins, but really attacking at the core what people want, what they expect, the challenges that they find exist in society and how they live, and that's good business, and it is going to be a good and valuable perspective for an individual to bring to a company if they're looking for a job or if they're looking to solidify their standing within a company, which is to help shake things up and get people onto a different track and a right track. The other thing is, and I write in the book about the need to rethink the organizational structure within within a company or a brand or any kind of organization. And in some cases, that means, trading out people who are very qualified but not necessarily qualified for the challenge that exists today. That actually is a really good time to do that because, a lot of organizations, unfortunately, because of the challenges in the economy, have to shed employees. But instead of shedding employees who were the most, recent hires or, exist within a division that has some specific area of focus, it's an opportunity to really look across the board and say who has the certain skill sets, who has the experience, who has the perspective to drive a conversation that's different in the future than the one that we've had in the past and make changes within an organization that sets you up for something really interesting and exciting going forward, as opposed to just simply, trimming the size of your employee base.
Good stuff. Let's take a quick station break, back in just a few minutes with some really interesting discussions that I want to talk with you about, including a battle I had with cancer and something crazy I did that propelled my business. So back in just a minute, everybody, after the break.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
MySEOTool.com is your all-in-one SEO management resource. MySEOTool.com makes it easy to optimize and oversee all of your SEO efforts. Line-by-line detailed reports help you identify any problems and show you how to fix them. MySEOTool.com is completely automated. Once you use it, you will see a rise in your search rankings and traffic. Try My SEO Tool risk-free today. Go to MySEOTool.com, MySEOTool.com.
From the creators of We Build Pages, experience the power of the Internet Marketing Ninja. An exclusively trained army of nearly 100 in-house ninjas. Mastered in the arts of social media, local marketing, content creation, SEO reporting, and yes, link building. The Internet Marketing Ninjas will release a new version of their legendary tools to the public. Visit the Internet Marketing Ninjas booth at PubCon 2011 Vegas or visit imninjas.com. The ninjas are coming.
Podcasting at the speed of sound.
WebmasterRadio.fm,
the flamethrower.
WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Brian Rich. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you.
So, Brian, I want to talk with you about a shift and reset moment I had myself, and then I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are on it and if this is in line, if you will, with some of the principles and methodologies that you talk about in the book. So back in 1992, when I just gotten married and for the first time and was diagnosed, unfortunately, with testicular cancer with about 4 or 5 months prior to the wedding, so it's a little bit weird. I ended up being diagnosed with an unusual type of cancer that qualified me for this Dana-Farber cancer program, a protocol that was a 10-year program, and I said yes to it and met some remarkable people and stepped through the whole program, and I decided with a good sense of humor to start a golf tournament called the Lost Ball Golf Tournament. I became more famous in the Boston area for starting this Lost Ball Golf Tournament. We raised over $100,000 for the Jimmy Fund. A lot of people still, you know, think of me to this day as the guy that started this golf tournament. But I tell this to you because it was an opportunity to do something creative, do something different. Word of mouth marketing was not even a marketing concept at that time back in those days. The company that I had also started at the same time grew exponentially, much like the golf tournament did, in unique and different ways. Isn't this really a good example of how we have to start rethinking the way we're trying to make the world a better place here? Wouldn't this fit into an example of really what some of your methodology is all about? Maybe you could comment on that, and then I have another series of questions I want to ask you as well.
Yeah, well, I think there are two important things in your personal lesson here that people should take away. One is you did think differently about the challenge. There was not a sort of a model for how someone might learn about what you were going through and you know, lend their support to you as well as to the cause writ large. And so you were able to get people's attention and bring them in and establish a real, you know, positive benefit. What's important, though, is that nobody else goes out there and creates the same golf tournament or the same approach to that conversation, because your personal experience and your leveraging of your network is unique. But unfortunately, a lot of folks do say, oh, well, Byron had success with this golf tournament, so I should do a golf tournament, or had success with this, you know, line of thinking about this, so I'm just going to emulate what he did. And that doesn't work. And so part of the shift and reset mentality is to really say, okay, what was it that worked for you, and how do I apply that lesson or that experience to something going forward? Mm-hmm. And then the other part is, you know, after you've done that for a while, people get used to it. And so you have to continually to evolve and change and take advantage of different opportunities that either come your way or that relate to your audience. And I don't think that there's a lot of recognition of how important it is to stay current and change things, particularly as the digital and sort of you know, the whole framework of our society changes all around us because of the role that technology and the internet are playing, not just in communications, like I said, but really in the functioning of our lives.
Do you have any examples that come to mind? I'm sure you do, of course, with either companies or individuals that have, you know, that have developed a distinguished method to take on a big challenge, and much like I did, you know. But are there countless examples? Is that what you're seeing? Is that the good news here, that we are seeing the innovation? There are stories to tell. There is success being generated. And if so, could you highlight an example of one that is really the kind of model that makes it work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any, you know, company or organization that does everything well. But I do think that there is a mindset that you're starting to see, which is very exciting. The best example I would give is a relatively recent one related to AIDS and AIDS research. If you're at all familiar with the story, you know, scientists for decades have been trying to figure out the causes of AIDS and sort of crack the code, and have not been successful, right? There have been some very successful aspects to AIDS awareness and transmission of disease, you know, all over the world. But the scientists have struggled to figure out, you know, what's at the heart of this disease. Well, a couple months ago, a group of scientists brought in a team of gamers. And, you know, the gamers in 10 days or so managed to crack the code in one of these sort of core scientific challenges that the researchers were not able to tackle. You know, and I think the important thing there is just to recognize, not, of course, that gamers are the solution to everything, but, you know, they said, look, we're stumped. The researchers said we're stumped, and they brought in a very different line of thinking. They cross-pollinated their expertise with another expertise. And the result was, you know, some pretty significant advancements that they would not have been able to make themselves. And that is indicative, I think, of the world in which we live today, in this connected society, where we don't have to do things all by ourselves. We actually have to do the opposite, which is we really have to collaborate. We really have to recognize what we're good at and what we're not, and kind of mash together the areas of expertise, even if they're relatively narrow. And that thinking is just not ingrained in most people. Most people think, I need to build an organization, I need to be good at everything, you know, and quite the opposite now. You can just be good at what you're good at, and by working closely with others, really tackle some of these thorny issues that we've never been able to tackle all on our own before.
Is there a checklist of things that you would be able to offer to the listeners today on how to approach this challenge of dealing with or participating in or getting involved in a serious issue that you want to try to tackle?
Sure. Let me answer that in two ways. The first is, you know, think differently. And I know that sounds sort of like a throwaway, but really ask those tough questions. Don't sit on your hands when you don't think that an effort is achieving enough, or that a conversation is going down the right track, you know, within an organization you're sitting around the table with. Because there isn't one right answer. There isn't one tool that's going to solve these problems. And that's what people want. They want to say, oh, Twitter solves this problem, or Facebook will result in the end of this challenge. But it really is a mentality. It's a process. So we need to think differently and sort of shake up our mindset. And then the other is, we need to stop doing things. We have limited bandwidth. We have limited attention. We have limited energy, focus, resources, all of that. So in the book, I have a chapter called Stop Doing Things, and the four things that I say we need to stop doing are one, which I mentioned before, I think, which is to stop looking at case studies. We need to stop focusing so much attention on raising money and instead start to focus on how organizations and brands and corporations in particular can apply expertise and not just dollars to solving problems. We need to focus less on social media and really about put our focus on being social and really developing relationships and engaging and understanding the flow of society today. And lastly, we need to stop creating organizations. In fact, I would argue we probably need to shut down many of the organizations that aren't performing well right now, because within those underperforming organizations is incredible intelligence and expertise and experience that applied in a different context, instead of competing with each other, would actually help, you know, an organization become much stronger and much more focused.
What's the future look like for you if all of your ideas are executed to perfection? Are there brainchilds that are really good leaders? Are there still nonprofit organizations and causes? Are there think tanks that think so creatively that they can generate both the ideas to solve, you know, major problems, as well as the resources and the people to help support those initiatives? What does it look like? Is it online? Is it offline? You know, does the Jimmy Fund go away in your mind, or, you know, or is it, are they all still there? They're just doing it differently.
Well, no, I think, you know, it's not about online or offline or one organization or another. It's about finding the solution. So I think the future really would have something like the Jemmy Fund going away, not because it's not an incredible organization, but because it's actually fulfilled its mission. It's accomplished what it set out to do. There's only one, I think, really good example of an organization that's fulfilled its mission completely, March of Dimes, you know, and its work around polio. But then after having all this success, they actually, you know, made a huge mistake, which is they assumed that because they had been successful in one challenge, they should simply apply what they know to the next challenge. And they have not been as successful as they were with polio and some of their other efforts. So I think the future really is about finally solving some of these problems and taking it upon, you know, ourselves to say, okay, I'm done. Let's close the doors of that organization and let me now take what I learned and what I know and apply it in a different context. And that's going to be online and offline. And I think it's going to be, you know, with some of the organizations that we know are going to continue to operate, and I hope some new ones come, and some of the ones that we know that aren't working are going to go. So it's much more about seeing the fulfillment of the work and not just more work and different work. It's really about actually advancing the ball down the field or moving the needle or whatever sort of metaphor you want to use for success.
The book is Shift and Reset. The author is Brian Rich. Brian, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Anytime you want to talk about this stuff or you know, extend this conversation, I'm here for you.
Well, I'm hoping the Jimmy Fund stays around, but but other than that, I really see your point. It makes sense. It has to be a thought leadership sort of driven solution here, particularly with some of these serious issues. To help advancement. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and ideas today.
Thank you.
Brian, how do you want people to get a hold of you, and where can they find you online?
Sure. They can go to shiftandreset.com, and there's information about me and ways to contact. You shouldn't have too much trouble finding me online as well. My Twitter handle, @BrianReich, or on Facebook and et cetera. But shoot me an email, fire off a note, pose a question, pick a fight. My goal with the book and this whole conversation is to get people thinking differently. That doesn't mean I have all the right answers, but, you know, I'm not afraid to challenge people to think differently. And so I hope people will take that invitation and run with it.
Back in just a minute, everybody, after the break. Thanks.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at bruceclay.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad
Looking
solutions
for a white
with
label
real
SEO
conversions.
And social
Learn everything
for your
AdMedia
clients.
Can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com.
SEO audit
AdMedia, strong ROI
Premium
made
Facebook
simple.
Apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Rock the world with LinkedIn. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Brian Rich. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you.
You know, part of all of this is, you know, making me the human happy to make a donation to the Jimmy Fund, right? Like, mm-hmm. I need that outlet if I had somebody that was a friend of mine that died from cancer, or, you know, Those are some of the interesting elements that, of course, we're all trying to tap into. How do we take that passion somebody has in wanting to help a cause? But this is tricky stuff, no question about it.
I just think we've fallen into some dangerous, you know, patterns. We've gotten lazy, right? So, okay, I gave my donation, but I have more to offer. And, you know, we try to be so efficient and we measure success by the amount of dollars raised. Well, you know, if I'm a writer, if I'm a communications professional, if I'm an expert, if you will, in movement building, you know, a $25 or $50 donation or an afternoon of me attending an event, that's probably the least important thing you could ask me for. Now, it takes more work, right, to figure out who's good at what and how we can apply it, but it also yields a lot more than just, you know, a sort of throwaway donation where I forget about the issue and the cause after I've made that donation. And that's not to say that's always what happens, but I think you see a lot of organizations just mistaking big fundraising and big awareness for you know, fulfilling their mission.
Yeah.
It's
almost,
you know,
like an interesting title for the book would be,
more than
you know, thanks for your donations, we need more.
Yeah.
You know,
and no one wants to do
thoughts,
that because
ideas,
they're like,
recommendations,
well, they already gave us a donation.
Deeper understanding, you know, we need more from you because that more is going to be the answer to this problem that you're making a donation on.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly, and
it's,
collecting
it's
that,
that
intelligence,
it's
which now with the technology we have available,
ideas.
So much easier, so much more. You know, doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah,
and having that intelligence and being able to apply it—that is an example of what happens on the other side when we start to think differently. But you would be amazed at the kind of visceral responses I get from organizations who say, you know, well, we need to raise money. And I'm like, what if I told you that money wasn't an issue and all you had to do was solve your problem? What would you do? What would your first activity be? They don't have an answer because they've stopped thinking about solving the problem and they spend so much energy trying to support the organization. So it's not a criticism of the organization. It's a missed opportunity. Yeah. And now we have all the opportunity in the world to really do some exciting stuff. Let's do it.
The challenge you're having, again, is this, you're kind of leading people to something that's hard for them to think that something big could come from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, right, you got to believe that, you know, you got to be willing to take the risk. You got to be willing to, you know, to fall down trying to achieve something bigger and say, you know, it's not enough that I'm just going to accomplish this small thing. I got into business. I got into this cause because I wanted to, whatever, eradicate hunger, save lives. Like, you know, yeah. When did, no one wakes up in the morning and goes, I got into the business so I could build a nonprofit organization. Like, that's, find me the person who says that. Like, they got into business for a reason. And we've just gotten, you know, we've gotten confused because we reward organizational growth and not real true impact enough.
Yeah. So I think I like this sort of, to me, the positioning on this is, again, thanks for your donations. We appreciate it, but we need more from you, right? That's the whole thing. And then the book and the position feels more empowering. Like, wow, you mean there's more than I could do? You know?
Yep. And no, it's how all do about, I do it's, that? I try to, you know, show that I'm glass, you know, three quarters half full. Like, there is huge opportunity in a connected society, and we just need to, like, embrace it and run with it. And what's challenging is we don't know what it looks like, right? We haven't done it before. It's a new world. And that scares the crap out of people, as opposed to this is what we've always done, and I can measure a certain level of success. And the problem is, of course, that success is not what we want. And, by the way, as the world changes, it's going to get harder and harder to hit those numbers because people know better than to say, if you do this walk, if you give this dollar, we're going to end this, you know, horrific situation. People are smarter than that. And now we have all the options in the world, you know, so we just got to catch up to what we're doing as human beings.
Right.
And it's exciting. Well, I mean, right? Everyone who gets up every morning and says, I want to eradicate hunger from the world, we might actually make progress towards that now. Like, whoa. Wouldn't that be exciting, you know, as opposed to that feeling, which I know a lot of people in the nonprofit community have, which is we do all this work and it never seems, you know, it never seems to change, like a lot of success, but we don't actually feel like we're having the impact that we know we're supposed to have.
Hmm. Well, that I think that a more prescriptive approach here, where you fall short, however, and I'm just, again, being a, you know, being a good debater right here, right? Where you fall short is the prescription part of this, right? Mm-hmm. I think everyone would buy into the fact that, you know, the feel in the nonprofit organization as it exists today is kind of flat. It's kind of boring. It's kind of, you know, it's just like go raise money, you know, and give it to doctors and let's hope they come up with a cure. You know, it's flat. And I think that's your point. Everyone buys that, but what they want from you, Brian, is, okay, how do I do it differently, Brian? Okay,
right.
You're the expert in this. How do I do it differently? And again, well, I think
it's totally fair. And, you know, my thing is,
you tore it down nicely, didn't build the platform that they can stand on.
Right.
You know,
If you said, what should I change? I would give you five ideas. But, you know, I think where we fall short in the sort of thought leadership world is, you know, we say, here is the solution to everything. You know, here's the one solution. And then everybody believes that it's the solution to their thing. And they don't apply the thought.
But the first point you would make is there is no one solution to your problem. Right? So, you know, so I could see this panning out and positioned really beautifully, but I do think that the following does need to come into play. It was interesting to hear you sort of, less social media and more social, you know, engagement, or however you described it, right? More socially conversing about the topics. I get that, but wait a second here. You know, I think there is a prescription out there that says nonprofit organizations need to listen more carefully to the wants and needs of the people that are making donations and to the wants and needs of those that they're giving money to that are providing the solutions. And they need to be more of a bridge between those two very different groups of people. And they need to use social media to listen in to those conversations and those concerns and those wants and needs, right?
Totally.
The parent company to Idea Launch is a company called Idea Launch, ironically, an interesting name for this discussion, right? And we're focused on content marketing, which is the art of listening to the wants and needs of customers and the science of delivering it to them in a compelling way, you know, where we really try to dig into what those wants and needs are. And I'm out preaching and speaking, you know, 20, 30 times a year about the content marketing topic, and it's spot on to what you're talking about here, right? Mm-hmm. You've analyzed the nonprofit world, if we could just focus on that. I know you're trying to tie it into corporations as well, but that's tough too, because now you're trying to be everything for everyone. You know, if you laser focus this just on the core, you know, serious issues, then it is kind of most serious issues right now. Well, you could argue that, you know, Biogen and Merck and, you know, they're tackling serious issues and doing it in creative ways. And there's a whole bunch of study that could revolve around the companies. And there's, of course, the nonprofit organizations. But if the central theme is serious issues, I think you do have two different audiences there. And it's getting into this. I think the prescription you're looking for is right there, which is namely, we've got to empower people donating, give them more education and more opportunity to possibly help with a solution. For right. example,
no, and I think the big challenge in that, because I agree with you completely,
yep.
is that people want, literally, they want the tool, they want the easy
yeah.
solution, and it's mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of people who say, I've got your easy solution for you, but you're, you know, since you were saying, you know, you sell and work in content marketing, right? That's a process. Like, you don't have
yeah.
You may start in the same place, right? Or you may have sort of a system that you apply because it allows you to make sure that you're checking all the different pieces. But the starting point is never the same, and the end point is never the same. People literally get angry when you don't say, here is a tool, here is a thing, here is your iPhone, this will solve your problems. But they never tell you how to use it. They never tell you how to apply it. They never tell you how to adapt it. They never tell you what to look for. And so what continually happens is people buy the iPhone and they go, the iPhone will solve our problems. And then 6 months later or a year later, they're like, this thing didn't solve crap, because we've been doing what we've always been doing on a totally new set of tools. And lo and behold, we got the same response.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. And what I'm, you know, there's only so much you can do right in one conversation or one book. But literally, if I can get people to just go, wait a minute, why are we doing that same thing that we've always been doing? Why are we sending an email newsletter with a 15% open rate? That means 85% of the people who once signed up are no longer reading our stuff. Why is that? And if they start to think that way, A, there are a lot of people who can pick up that conversation, myself included, yourself included. But more importantly, they actually now start to look at the world in a different place, and that's a big deal. We're not, you know, if I over, you know, solutioned it, if I oversimplified it, which mm-hmm. I'm guilty of at times as well, then I'm feeding into the same problem. So I sort of have to make it complicated and scary so that when people just are willing to click their head over, I'm waiting there, and as are you, and a lot of very, very smart people are waiting there to pick up that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's
no,
like,
yeah.
you know, and I said it in the opening of the book. I said, look, I didn't write a book that said, here's the 10 tips for how to do this, that, or the other
yeah,
thing,
right.
because lots
mm-hmm.
of people have written those books. If I can get you thinking differently before you read that book or talk to that person or go to that event, I have done my part, and you're unlocking the huge full potential of what those people have to offer. Much more so than, you know, those people are much smarter than me in terms of execution, I would argue.
Mm-hmm.
So let me help
mm-hmm.
the execution become more sustainable by getting your mindset right before you go in there. Let me make the execution more sustainable because I got a bunch of other crap out of the way that wasn't working, and now someone actually has figured out a tool or a system, and I'm a big content guy, so I think your stuff is spot on, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone goes into your mindset going, oh, wait, this is a little harder than just turning on some widget, now I've done my part. And I think it opens up the potential for you guys to have a much greater impact on behalf of and with people. So it's you know, that's obviously very difficult to, you know, to frame into sort of a quick answer. But the idea is, yeah, let's just ask the tough questions. Just acknowledge that what we're doing isn't quite working. Suggest we have to change it. And then you're smart, so go figure out what that means in your context. And I'll totally help if you want. But the part I know I can do from a distance is just kind of smacking you upside the head and saying, you know, just do it a little differently. Just change something.
I like it, but it's that last thing that where it leaves people with, like, I don't know what to do. It's like, you know, you're smart, go figure it out. You know, it's like, wait a second here. And if you look at it, that's hard. That's hard to tell somebody, right? Like, you're smart, go figure it out. What that means is you really don't care about them. You don't want to help them solve their problem. They should be able to figure it out. And that's how it comes across. Now, in the inside panel of your book, right, there's a really concrete, like, I feel like you're going to lead me to a solution. And here's, you know, it goes over this in 2010, more than 6 million contributors, you know, first-time donors and young supporters for Haiti, $5 and $10 donations. Holy crap, the big fundraising efforts, you know, were being replaced by these newer, smaller groups, right? And you know, so it's leading me to believe in that first paragraph that Shift and Reset shows you, quote, shows you how to take advantage of a rapidly changing technologies and new communication ecosystems to create real, meaningful change in our connected society.
Well, right? And it does, but then you go and read the section about how the Obama
tells
campaign
me
did that.
You have a plan for me, right?
Well,
you're
I do. I don't have the specific answer, but. Well, no, but I mean, if you go and read the section, for example, on the Obama campaign, what I show is that they threw out the existing org chart and they completely rewrote it to solve their mission. So the specific thing is, let's start by throwing out your existing org chart and rewriting a new one based on your mission.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't even mentally get around that. Why would I change my org chart? We've got all these people who are doing all of this work. Yeah, but you acknowledge that it doesn't accomplish your mission. Mm-hmm. So if you acknowledge it doesn't accomplish your mission, why would you keep the same structure and the same staff? It's not to say that those people are bad people. I think they're probably very smart, but they're not the right people for the challenge. Mm-hmm. So the Obama campaign said, we've got all these people who have always run political campaigns, and we can't win that. So we're going to have to go and find a different group. We're going to have to expand the electorate, and we're going to have to change the whole dynamic of it.
Mm-hmm.
What do people want is they say, I want the social network that Barack Obama built,
mm-hmm.
because it's a
mm-hmm.
solution. But the same solution, if my Barack Obama, the technical infrastructure, had been built on top of Hillary Clinton's campaign, she would still not have won. Because the world had fundamentally changed and the task of winning the presidency is now different. And if you look at the Obama campaign this time, you know, the way they're approaching the use of data, they're not doing anything. There's no product, there's no package. It's smart people looking at constantly changing information and saying, I think this is right. And then obviously a culture of innovation and really testing and failing and then fixing it fast. Another thing that nonprofits suck at. So I think mm-hmm. there's lots of like core starting points, but people want an answer. And the answer is, you know, start by changing one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I have to stop doing things. Like, how about for 30 days, don't ask for money. See what happens. Ask for something mm-hmm. else, to your point, right? For 30 days, I bet you can't find a single nonprofit who would be willing to do that, to put a moratorium on asking for 1 month. They can't even wrap their head around it. And until they do, they're going to keep falling into the same dangerous patterns.
But what you have to provide to them is a more creative, you know, that's a good point you raised, but remember, what that might translate into with any nonprofit organization is having to fire people because they don't have money to pay them, right? So you have to deal with that reality. That's a powerful statement that I understand you're making. You made it in the interview. But what that means to a nonprofit organization is depleting its cash flow, which means depleting its contributions, which means depleting, staying away from its mission. You know, why can't you do both is my question. Keep the fundraising going, but open this up to ask for more. Again, it's
but,
the
no,
answer
but the
is
reason
thanks
is,
for your donation.
Is because
we
you
need
have,
more
because we have
from
limit.
You, including ideas, recommendations, participation, communication, connectivity, and the power of many to solve a problem. The crowdsourcing powerful of many, right? So your mission becomes showing people how to do that ladder. Showing them a platform to get more ideas and to take those ideas and to run with them and to put those ideas to work, much like I defined, you've got a target audience of your donors that have wants and needs. Like, maybe I need more education on how I should do a self-check on testicular cancer problem with myself, right?
No, exactly. And that's exactly right. No, that's exactly what
Early
that's
diagnosis.
Exactly what the book encourages people to do. But the response that you get in real human terms is, you know, but I also have to still send this newsletter and ask for this money and blah, blah, blah. And we don't have bandwidth and resources to do it. So we have to stop doing some things. We have to get rid of some people in favor of other people. We have to not create new organizations that cannibalize the possibility of other organizations having success. In addition to having all of these, you know, larger, you know, innovative, you know, fast-moving, constantly changing opportunities for us to explore. Everyone wants just to do the more without making the sacrifice. I'm not saying you only have to make the sacrifice, but I'm saying I feel completely confident in people's ability, you know, that there's a long list of things that they would love to do if they weren't burdened by some of the things they're already doing. So let's start the conversation by saying, you know, have faith in the fact that, you know, you have creativity and you have an audience that's, you know, shown their support for you. Now let's figure out how to take them to the next level. And in order to do that, let's stop doing some things or let's rethink some things that we know are not working as well as they could or should, because we're never going to get to the full potential of the other stuff until we get some things out of the way.
Brian, what a wonderful discussion this has been.
Absolutely. No, and I hope it continues. I mean, I hope it sparks a response online, and I'm more than happy to, you know, respond to questions or come back in and, you know, brainstorm with people and, you know, solve these problems. Like, I don't want to just sort of shake people up. Like, I want to see, you know, hunger ended. I want to see cancer solved. I don't want people to have to walk, you know, to cure cancer. I want that cured so we can walk to do something else or do something else. Like, and that's where I feel like we have the potential to go. But we, you know, we're in this period where people, and particularly with social media, people are like, Twitter solves the problem. Like, we've gotten further away from really thinking about the mission stuff because it's become so efficient and easy to do some of the other things. And we just have to be careful about that.
I mean, to me, the exciting, and one more point, and we both, I'm sure, have to move on our busy days, but I'm surprised that you didn't take the twist that you know, or didn't, you know, take the position that social media is the connection point, is the power to solve these world problems. It's happening right now all over the world. Literally, social media is becoming the fuel for revolutions happening and dictators falling. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that is solving immense serious issues like rape and all kinds of other problems that are happening in political structures. That's just one of many examples with how the power of the people is being put to work to solve world problems.
Well, right,
and
but it also, and I agree
that you
with
didn't
you.
Tap
it
into
also,
that,
I
because
mean,
that would you'd have that if that was your
well,
mission.
Sure, but it's much more complicated than that, because the goal for the Middle East, as an example, is democracy. So social media, you know, galvanized a revolution which took down a dictator, and now it's uglier than it was before. And so the fear is, right, that people are like, oh, we'll have an Arab Spring, you know, in the United States, and, you know, we'll get rid of X, Y, and Z problem, or we'll have, you know, really galvanizing movements, you know, to address a certain issue without considering really what step two is. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't take that. You should go and you should shake it up. That's the whole point. But people think that, you know, getting Gaddafi out of power was the solution to the problems in Libya. It's the beginning of the transformation, and it will be messy, and people will go, well, maybe we shouldn't have gotten rid of him, which is a stupid argument. But that's what happens, is people get scared, and then they fall back into their old established patterns. What I'm saying is, recognize that this is exciting. The tools are there. It's working on all sorts of things, the ones you cited. Now, let's have both the mindset of the long term and the understanding of how to execute in the short term together, and now we're going to see some real difference, because we won't be surprised when the shit hits the fan. We'll be ready, and we'll have an audience that's ready to go there with us, right? People in the trenches with us. That's where the real potential, power, exciting stuff comes from. I totally agree, and I talk about that stuff all the time.
I'm writing
a thing about Occupy or about Arab Spring now, and sort of how it relates, and the Tea Party, and blah blah blah. Like, absolutely, but people want to say, fine, overthrow the dictators, and then, you know, nobody wants to be there to put the democracy back together. That's, we want democracy. That's what we're talking about. You know,
well, those
same
countries,
like I want, you know,
the,
I want
the
cancer
yeah,
cured.
Yeah, cured. It's exactly. But again, super discussion, wonderful, really great, great to have great minds like yours out there, and you know, trying to stir up the cobwebs and barge into people's lives to challenge their thinking behind all these things. But really, really good stuff.
Absolutely, so and thank you for asking. Like anytime, let me know, because I think, you know, you obviously have both a personal and professional connection to this, and you get it. So I, you know, the more conversations you want to have, I'm here for you.
Thanks again for being on the show. Until next week, everyone, I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, particularly when it comes now to serious issues and how to conquer them. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.